views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited to have Hung Pham with us, who is the founder of Culture Summit, and we're going to be talking about how to transform culture from the ground up. And this perspective on our larger organizational cultures can help us more easily understand how to create brilliant organizations and what holds us back from that. So let me introduce Hung. Hung Pham is the founder of Culture Summit, the premier conference on building company culture from the bottom up. Culture Summit has featured leaders from Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, and more. He is also a TEDx speaker where he shares his story on how embracing failure helped him become an entrepreneur. Prior to becoming an entrepreneur, Hung spent over 10 years working in Silicon Valley at companies including Sun Microsystems, Yahoo, and Cisco Systems. Welcome. So glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a great conversation.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let's jump right in. So you're the founder of Culture Summit, and I'm imagining there's a whole story behind why you decided to found that. What? Tell us a little bit about how this all got started for you.
Yeah, of course. So I started Culture Summit back in 2014. And for me, I've never worked in HR. I've never been a people manager. I didn't study organizational development. Culture Summit started as me trying to solve my own challenges with disengagement in my career.
Okay.
So I graduated in 2004. I studied computer science. And upon graduation, I knew early on I didn't want to be an engineer. I didn't want to sit behind a computer all day writing code. I enjoy problem solving. It's just I really didn't think writing code was, you know, a good path for me. And so being, you know, fresh out of college, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew what I didn't want to do. And so over the next, I would say, 10 years of my career, a lot of the jobs I took were either because they paid well or it had a nice fancy title to it. And so I spent most of my career just working at big, you know, corporate tech companies. And about 10 years in, I just, you know, got really frustrated and disengaged slowly, because for me, one of the challenges I had in a lot of the roles I took was that I couldn't tie what I was doing into the company's overall mission. And so I had a hard time feeling like I had a purpose in what I was doing. And that created a lot of disengagement for me. At that time, I really didn't know what the word culture meant. It didn't really cross my mind. I just knew that the environment I worked in wasn't conducive of something that I would be excited every day to come to work for. And eventually I started to get a lot of anxiety. And I remember just getting anxiety on Sunday nights because I dreaded coming to work on Mondays. And around 2013, I think, I came across an article about Zappos. And what I liked the most about it was that, you know, looking at the company, they sell shoes and they can sell gardening tools. And I think everyone at the company, regardless of what role you're in, whether you're an engineer, a designer, in support, everyone's bought into creating this wow experience for the consumer. And I was really impressed by that, because for me, early in my career when I was at Sun, I remember just feeling not not excited to be at work, and it affected my performance a lot. And I would make a lot of mistakes that I shouldn't be making. And I remember sitting in a one-on-one with my manager, and she wasn't happy with my performance. And I had mustered up enough courage to tell her why I had been performing the way I did. And a lot of it had to do with just not being able to tie in what I was doing into like the company's overall mission. And so me being, I don't know, I probably was 24 at the time, you know, me being young and hoping my manager would coach me through it. But instead, mm-hmm. she looked at me and she said, "Hung, I'm this close from firing you right now." She made this motion with her hand, showing me how close she was to firing me.
Wow.
And and after that, I don't remember the rest of the conversation after that. A lot of it, I think, just hearing that, I kind of went numb.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, okay, you know, I'm going to have to figure this one out on my own, because it doesn't look like I'm getting the support I needed. And so that always stayed with me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I read that article about Zappos and seeing how they're just really focused on their people, I started questioning a lot of the organizations I worked in and just wondering, well, why can't most, you know, companies, most organizations have that same approach?
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking for ideas. Not ideas. I started looking for events, because I wanted to be around more people in that space. And I really didn't know where to go, but I was just, you know, searching, Googling, searching the web, just trying to see where else I can, you know, go to learn more about culture. And so a lot of events that I came across were very HR focused, and mm-hmm. they were targeted towards HR leaders. They had a top-down approach, and they were very expensive. So mm-hmm. you're paying like $2,000 for a 3-day conference, and I couldn't afford it. I wasn't, you know, an HR leader. I didn't have the budget. I was just a guy who was an employee who cared about culture, and there wasn't really an event out there at the time. And so I said, okay, I'm going to be the first. I'm going to do it, even though I had no idea what I was doing.
You're going to blaze that trail, right?
Yeah. So I made the decision. And early on, I had a couple of people in my network who were also event organizers. And this is about 2014 when I first had the idea for it. And I remember pitching the idea to them and just asking them what they thought about a conference on culture. And the general feedback I got was that it wouldn't work. So they told me it wouldn't work. They said culture is such a broad, fluffy topic, and don't expect people to pay to attend. If you break even, consider that a success. But you know, for the most part, it just sounded like it wouldn't work. But I knew deep down, I knew if I was struggling with this engagement, there had to be at least one more person, right? There had to be at least another person out there who was having the same challenges that I was having as an employee. And mm-hmm. so that was what propelled me to keep moving forward and you know, starting the conference.
Yeah, and you make a really interesting and important point that you know, when you were looking around for events, there were no events for everyday employees to attend, right?
Right.
There was just nothing out there. It was relegated to human resources or certain, you know, areas of leadership versus, you know, what if you're an employee who just wants to learn more about culture? You've been really filling this gap, it sounds like.
Right? Yeah, and I looked at, I mean, for me, a lot of the beginning in how we grew it and you know, what was our brand and the voice. And a lot of it, I just reflected back on my experiences as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never worked in HR. And so, you know, some people would think that, okay, well, culture is HR's responsibility, or that's HR's problem to figure out. But it's not. It affects all employees. And for me, I couldn't wait for change, or I couldn't wait to find the solution. I had to go out there and try to create that change or build that solution for myself.
Yeah, this idea that we're actually, everyone's building the culture all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a participant in the culture, right? It's not just somebody over here that's, you know, in one part of the company that's in charge of it. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, so you started Culture Summit in 2014, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And this August is it the third? Is that correct, or the fourth?
It's the third year.
The third year.
This upcoming August.
Okay. Wow. So, What have been a couple of the changes you've seen between the inception of it and now?
A lot of changes. So we launched back in September 2014 with a projected date of March 2015 for the first conference. So when I launched, it was myself and another organizer who was a partner of mine. We launched in the first 3 months, we couldn't sell a ticket. And we couldn't attract any, you know, really big companies to come speak, couldn't get sponsorship. And it was such a struggle because I wasn't sure what I was doing wrong. For me, the couple of years prior, I had really, really been involved in the startup ecosystem. So just going to a lot of events, a couple of hackathons, just really getting immersed in the entrepreneurial space. So I wasn't sure. I always thought culture came from the top. And so a lot of my marketing, the messaging and, you know, a lot of the marketing strategy was aimed towards founders. And so for the first few months, we couldn't sell a ticket. And then on a random December morning, I got an email from my partner that pretty much said, I'm out. He said that he wasn't having fun and he'd rather do something else. And for me, that was devastating. Not so much because he was out. I think for me, the devastating part was that I was alone. And as an entrepreneur, it's just having someone there with you, either as a sounding board or just, you know, as someone just to kind of pick you up when you're down, makes a big difference. And it made you, you know, being alone now, I was very scared. My biggest fear was that I would put in all this effort and time and nobody would show up. Yeah, sorry, go ahead and call it that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're gonna jump right back into this story about, you know, a story that's familiar, I think, to so many of us that start ideas, put ideas out into the world, right? There's this place where things get really, really hard. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation right where we left off. Stay tuned.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m.
p.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com, that's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Hung Pham, who is the founder of Culture Summit. And before we went to break, Hung, we were talking about some of the challenges that you went through starting Culture Summit. Can we pick up where we left off?
Yeah, of course. So I got an email from my partner who said he was out. And this is on kind of a random December morning. And I just remember being so terrified of trying to move forward by myself because the worst thing for me, or my fear at the time was that I would put in all this effort and nobody would show up.
Right.
So I thought, I gave it a good thought for about a week about just closing up shop and giving up because we hadn't sold any tickets. No one really knew we existed, or no one really knew the event existed. And so it made sense, at least for me, it'd just be easy just to close it up and disappear. Mm-hmm. But I kept thinking about, well, what if there's like another Hung out there and he's struggling and he's looking for an event. And what if this event just solves his problem, right? Or it could be anyone else. What if it solves it for that person? Wouldn't that have made it worth it? Mm-hmm. And so went back to the drawing board. I kept thinking, okay, maybe this is something that founders should be aware of. So I got on the phone with about 10 founders, interviewed them, and I asked them, where does culture rank on your list of priorities? A lot of founders says it's important, but for them, what was more important was making payroll, keeping the lights on, sales. Mm-hmm. And one founder told me, he said, well, I wouldn't have the time to go, but I would send someone to my place. And that was kind of that light bulb moment for me. So, and I thought, okay, so it's not necessarily founders, but it could be anyone inside a company who could make a decision on culture, on building culture.
Ah, yeah.
So then I went on LinkedIn and I searched for anyone with a title of like culture in their title. So it could be chief culture officer or director of culture, just anyone that had that title. And I would cold email them. And I would ask them to come to the conference. I would invite them in a cold email. So out of about 30 people I emailed, I got maybe a 25% response rate. Mm-hmm. But the people, maybe the 8 or so people who saw the conference, they got it and they bought a ticket. And then they bought, 3 or 4 for their teams. And that was that defining moment, like, wow, like, holy cow, people are actually buying a ticket. So then I got on the phone with all these attendees who bought tickets, and I said, hey, thank you for purchasing a ticket. Where do I find more people like yourself? Mm-hmm. And they would tell me about these communities that existed. And I said, great, would you mind promoting the conference in those communities? And said, yeah, we'd be happy to. And so Culture Summit, we sold out that first year. It was only about 225 people. Mm-hmm. But it grew just all through word of mouth, very local. And to give you some context on how much it's grown, so that first year we had it at NSF, and we probably only had 2 people come from out of town. Mm-hmm. And the second year we did it, we had 5 continents represented.
Wow.
And yeah, and I didn't really advertise anywhere outside of the U.S., so a lot of it has been organic, word of mouth. And this year, we're already seeing companies come in from various industries, not just tech, even though it started primarily in tech, but we're seeing other industries come in, like finance and medical and real estate. And then for us, just having that cross-functional, diverse group of attendees has been great because it's a testament to seeing where this industry is going.
Absolutely. And one thing that really strikes me is it sounds, based on what you've said, it sounds like one of the pivotal moments was the day you decided to make those phone calls to the founders, right?
Yeah.
The companies, yeah. And find out that they said, yeah, that's important, but we need to make sure the lights stay on, but I would send somebody, right? I think it's important enough that I would send somebody. And that really opened the door to you finding the right people to attend the conference initially.
Yeah. And the key, yeah. And the key there is that, you know, I stopped living within my head, right? I stopped thinking about, I stopped living kind of inside of my brain where I thought, this is who should be coming, or this is how I should be doing the marketing, or this is how I should be, you know, branding the conference. And I just started talking to potential customers. Even though, you know, it turns out that these founders who I thought were my ideal customers, they weren't. But what I did in speaking with them and learning more about what their challenges are, it uncovered who I should really be targeting. And so the mm-hmm. key there is to go and just, you know, talk to who your target audience would be. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with entrepreneurship, right? I think anyone in a company who wants to launch an initiative for their people, for the culture, go and talk to other employees and really understand, like, what are the challenges they're struggling with. And that will help you put together kind of a plan to start building these initiatives, start running these programs.
And you said, you know, you said something really important. I stopped living inside my head, which you probably should all do more of. Is that something you've continued, you know, is it a guiding principle for you as you continue to grow this?
Yeah. And yeah. I think for me, being an engineer, mm-hmm. I look at things differently. So whenever I see a problem, my default thinking is, okay, how do I bring that to life? For me, If I see a problem, I first look at what the constraints are. So what mm-hmm. am I constrained with? And then for me, once I understand those constraints, then I figure out how do I go around it, over it, under it, through it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my default mindset, just being an engineer. And I know with some people, it's not their default mindset. And so for me, I think the first thing is just, it's okay to have assumptions on what you think the solution could be. But once you have those assumptions, actually go out there and start testing those assumptions, start talking to your customers or your target audience and really understanding what that problem is, because every problem has a solution, but not every solution has a problem. So it's important to work at the problem level. And then once you understand that problem, to build a solution that's going to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Not every solution has a problem. It does go one way. So yeah, so you're saying, 2015, you had attendees from five continents, and then this year you're seeing people from all sorts of different industries, right? And it sounds like all over the world.
Yeah, so we've got more people coming from internationally. We're seeing more industries come in. We're seeing, you know, various type of companies, various size companies. For us, when we started off, we were really just targeting a lot of startups and smaller companies, and now we're seeing a lot of bigger companies come in, a lot of older tech companies. So it's really exciting. I think for me, just seeing how much we've grown, not just in size, but in diversity, mm-hmm. says a lot of, you know, where the industry of culture is heading and where people are starting to think about this as a very holistic movement and not just like focused on one segment of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because culture is so holistic itself, right? It makes sense that it's a whole. Makes sense that it's a holistic movement. And I'm curious, have you chatted with people at the conferences and probably have some repeat people who come back, right? Year after year. Have you heard any success stories, you know, people shared with you, you know, I took some ideas away from this conference and I tried it out and this is what happened.
Yeah, we've had a lot, both in people transforming culture in their companies, which is something we were already hoping to get, but then also having attendees come to us and saying, wow, I found my dream job because of Culture Summit.
Oh, wow.
There was this, yeah, that was unexpected. And so that's always having like a cherry on top when you hear something like that. And so mm-hmm. we had an attendee who attended all of our events. And for us, you know, we always try to do community events every month leading up to the conference just to bring people together. And so we organize in-person events and online events for people who can't attend in person. And so we had an attendee that she came to every event we had. And so at the conference, she ended up connecting with some people from Delivering Happiness, where she got a job there. And she came to me about, I think, 2 months after the conference ended, and we chatted, and she was like, thank you so much for, you know, putting together Culture Summit, because I was able to meet some folks from Delivering Happiness, and I got a job there, and it's my dream job. And to me, that was like, wow, like, that's amazing, because that's something I never really expected. We were always trying to help solve the mission of helping employees build the culture they want to work in. But in addition to that, we're helping people, you know, find their ideal careers or find purpose in what they're doing.
Yeah. Wow. That whole piece around purpose is huge, isn't it?
Yes.
I would imagine most of the people, if not all the people attending Culture Summit, have that hunger, that thirst for purpose like you did, right?
Yes.
I need to feel connected to something much bigger than just coming in and sitting down and doing my job. Whatever that is, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's huge.
And for me, when I started, I had a job that I couldn't really get excited about going to work for. And it just made it hard for me to come to work, even though my job wasn't demanding and I can do the work in, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours a day. It made it hard to come to work when I didn't have purpose. But once I started Culture Summit, work became manageable because now everything was directed towards Culture Summit. And I looked at my full-time job as a means to an end. So once I got off work at nights and on weekends, I was just focused on building the conference. And in the process, helping me find my purpose, it made work much more tolerable.
Oh, I can completely see that. That makes a whole lot of sense. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Culture Summit and how it's evolved. Stay tuned.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
You, yes you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live?
If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Do you want to tap into your true potential, get creative, and learn to live with more joy? Join Vicki Todd, host of Unstuck Joy, in Art Vision Journaling. Draw, doodle, collage, and write your way to intuitively creating your ultimate life vision with simple art prompts. No experience necessary. Vicki will show you how. All art supplies are included. Join Vicki every second Saturday monthly, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, at Spa Air in Kirkland, Washington. To register, visit spaair.com. That's spaair.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Hung Pham, who is the founder of Culture Summit. Hung, do you want to share with listeners how they can learn more about the conference, Culture Summit?
Of course. You can go on our site, which is www.culturesummit.co. From there, you can learn more about the conference. I would encourage anyone who's interested to sign up for our mailing list, because we do share a lot of what goes on behind the scenes. We share culture tips and advice. And for any of your listeners who are interested in attending, I'd like to offer a promo code of 10% off our tickets. So if they come to our site and register and use the code CS2017, they can save 10% off their tickets.
Wow, thanks so much. That's great. I'm going to the conference, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I think it looks like a great event. You have a lot of really interesting speakers. Any speakers you want to highlight, just to give us a taste?
I think we have a really strong, diverse set of speakers, and for us, so when I'm building a conference, I'm looking at the speakers. We don't really have any hard rules around who we're bringing on. I think for us, the one thing that we're very strict on is we want to have a diverse group of speakers. So not just a strong split between male and female, but also nationalities, different sized companies. And for us, just having that diversity means a lot. I think if you look at our speakers last year, we had Facebook and Google, who were big draws in terms of their brand. But the speaker that really blew everyone away was the VP of people at a startup called Greenhouse, and her talk was on the ROI of culture. And so we have her talk on our website, but that was by far the most favorite talk of the entire conference. And everyone at the conference was just tweeting about it, because her talk and what she presented on was just so groundbreaking that people hadn't really thought about culture in that sense before, or how do we actually measure the investment of it. And so for us, I think, looking at the speakers we have now, we have a lot of strong companies represented with Airbnb and LinkedIn and Pandora, but we also have a couple startups in there that, not many people may have heard of before, but we're confident in their ability as speakers and their topics that we're excited to have them there.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks for giving us just a little bit of the overview, and great to know about that particular talk on the ROI of culture, right? Because that's one of the reasons I find at least organizations don't necessarily want to delve into it, is because they're not sure about the ROI and they know it's going to be a big project, right?
Yeah,
it's
tough.
Look at their culture.
When I was at Cisco in my last role before becoming a full-time entrepreneur, I was a culture and engagement manager. And the biggest challenge I had in the organization I worked in was just, how do we get leadership buy-in? And the challenge there was that, a lot of these people programs, they're long-term investments. And so you have these leaders who are being graded on their quarterly numbers. And with that being the case, things like innovation and culture get deprioritized, because those are longer-term investments. And so one of the things that we're always trying to help our community with is, how do you define the impact, or what's your return on culture, and what are some of the ways you can look at showing that? Because when it comes to programs, you want your leaders to look at them as investments and not as expenses. Because if they're looked at as expenses, when it comes time to make cuts and budget cuts, the expenses are usually first to go. And so we're really intentional of trying to help our community create a way to show what they're doing as an investment and as an expense.
Absolutely. No, excellent point, right? This is an investment. This is because we see the opposite, at least I do as someone who consults in organizations. You know, I'm not going in when a culture is, I mean, companies have a great culture, right? I'm going in when things have started to fall apart and right. It's really, really, really hurting the bottom line by that point, you know, and right. People and not to mention engagement. So it is an important investment. I know one thing I was curious to ask you about from your vantage point, because I know you're so hooked into this community, is what are some of the issues when people are talking about culture and organizations? What are some of the big issues they're talking about?
Yeah, for me at least, just not, you know, being in this space for as long as other people have, or even just people who've done a lot of studies in the space. For me, I try not to assume what mm-hmm. I think people want to hear. Every year we survey the community. And we ask them, what are some of the challenges you're struggling with? You know, what are some of the topics you want to learn about at Culture Summit? And so we use that to help us source speakers and topics. And the top two I hear, at least with last year and this year, number one is how do we scale culture? So we have mm-hmm. a lot of companies in our community who are just growing rapidly. And they're hiring at a fast pace. And for them, the challenge is how do we maintain this intimate culture that we have as we're growing quickly? How do we build processes in play that's going to help us scale our culture as we're growing quickly? And then number two is how do we get leadership buy-in? Mm-hmm. Some of that mm-hmm. comes in the form of you have companies who are a little older in their way of thinking. And so you might have leaders who don't believe in investing in culture. So how do you get buy-in for that? Right. And then the other way of thinking is you have a lot of companies you have very young leaders who are first-time founders, and they may not understand the importance of culture. So now you're trying to get them to understand that. So how do we get buy-in for that? And so those are the two that we hear a lot about, at least the last year and this year. And we're working on trying to figure out different ways to try to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense, right? As you mentioned, older companies, right, who maybe have some older ways of thinking about leadership and management and culture, right? More of a top-down approach.
Right.
And then, yeah, one of the things I sometimes see with younger leaders and, you know, who are almost always incredibly talented and intelligent and well-meaning is they sometimes, what am I trying to say? Sometimes they haven't really experimented or explored the self-awareness aspect of leadership. And so understanding how they're impacting other people or understanding maybe how their communication style is forming the culture or impacting the culture, which is interesting to see. And sometimes it's literally a self-awareness issue.
Yeah, and I think with a lot of younger leaders, they're more focused on the business in terms of growth and mm-hmm. numbers and the bottom line. And so what happens is that the self-awareness, the mindful leadership gets lost in the shuffle. So mm-hmm. What we end up seeing is that their employees are starting to feel the effects of some of those decision-making that gets lost in the shuffle. And so they come to us and, you know, one of the things they're struggling with is, okay, how do I, you know, have a young leadership team that they're, you know, prioritizing growth and moving forward, but I want them to understand the importance of investing in their people. And so how do we get them to see that? So that's what we're hearing a considerable amount of in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess in some ways it's nice that it's fairly consistent, right? You said this year and last year, right? There seems to be these top two areas of concern that are consistent across the board. Yeah,
they're consistent, and also there's just not any one way of solving it, which mm-hmm. is both challenging but fun at the same time. I think mm-hmm. for us, when I looked at what we got back last year from the feedback, and you know, number one is how do I scale culture? Mm-hmm. For me, I thought, okay, well, what company comes to mind that has done a really good job that I think in terms of scaling culture? And so for me, Facebook came to mind. Mm-hmm. Because they're pretty big now. I think they're about 20,000 employees, and they still have a very strong, defined culture there. And so I went out and I got the VP of HR from Facebook to come speak and come talk about scaling culture, which she did a great job. But after the conference, when we looked at the feedback, the one thing I realized was, well, not everyone can be a Facebook, or not everybody wants to be a Facebook.
Or should be a Facebook, right?
You should be the best version of your company. And so mm-hmm. that to me was an eye opener, because the scaling culture topic, there's just many ways to try to go about solving it. And so this year, rather than have one speaker talk about scaling culture, we put together a panel and we brought in leaders at different levels of a company. Because for me, I wanted to create a more diverse way of looking at scaling culture. And so we brought in a leader who is the CEO of a company, because we wanted that kind of CEO perspective. And then we brought in a leader who started off as a recruiter and then grew her way into a director of culture. And so from there, you get kind of the employee perspective, who's kind of grown into that leadership role. And then we brought in someone who's also an executive, but who's kind of more seasoned and who's been an executive at companies like Starbucks and now at Zillow. And so he's going to bring in a different perspective. And so for us, we thought, okay, well, what if we took this topic of scaling culture, brought in leaders from different companies, kind of at different levels in a company, have that more shared perspective, can we do a better job at trying to solve this problem?
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. That sounds like a great panel. Yeah, because like you said, I think of company culture in a way is like the culture of a family, right? They're all unique.
Right.
So there's not going to be one size fits all solution here. So wonderful to be sharing all these different perspectives from people at different levels and in different industries. That sounds like it'll be a really fascinating panel.
I'm excited.
I bet. So why don't we go ahead and take a break? This is Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about the future of the Culture Summit and then also some tips and strategies for employees who are listening and thinking, wow, you know, I'd really love to think about how I can impact my company's culture in a positive way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit truthtalkradioshow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Hung Pham, who is the founder of Culture Summit. So Hung, would you like to share with us how people can learn more about this conference and register?
Of course. You can go to our site, which is www.culturesummit.co. We have, from there, you can find all about our conference, the speakers, the topics. I would encourage your listeners to sign up for our mailing list, which is on the site as well, where we share monthly tips around building culture, insight strategies, also what we're doing behind the scenes. And also for your listener, if anyone's interested in attending this year, we'll be happy to offer a promo code to save 10% off your tickets. So just register using the promo code C as in cat, S as in Sam, 2017.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So, Future of Culture Summit. We'd love to hear more about, what are over the next, year, 2 years, 5 years, what are some of your dreams and visions for where it's going to go?
For me, I think about it a lot in terms of what would I have wanted as an employee. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about helping. Our mission is to help employees build the culture they want to work in. Mm-hmm. For me, not having worked in HR before, not having the experience, I always looked at it as bringing people together so that collectively we can work together to solve some problems. And I think we've done a great job with the conference in that aspect. But for me, I want to go deeper and I want to have more impact. And so we're looking in terms of expanding over the next couple of years to more areas, more countries. We're also looking in terms of how do we go deeper in terms in the topic and provide people with more actionable insights and strategies and content. And so there are a couple ideas I have around how do we evolve the business more in that regard. But there's a lot of opportunities for us. And the space at itself, I think we're not even at the peak of it yet. I think just what I'm seeing the last couple of years, there's more things happening in the space in terms of events and companies building products. But I think we're still about a year or two away before we really hear a lot of people talking about culture, which is exciting because now is the right time to be in it. If anyone's interested in a career in the space, it's a good time to get involved.
Yeah, it is a really good time to get involved. And it seems like it's here to stay in a way. Mm-hmm. This interest in culture, because one of the things I see from my vantage point is so many companies are caught in these rapid cycles of change just because of the environment we're in. And in some ways that causes them to really have to look at their culture, right? Because having a great culture also helps them perform better. So it feels like this focus on it is here to stay in some form or fashion.
Yeah. And I think just the way kind of the media has talked about culture, and you've seen some of the challenges that some companies have gone through recently, a couple of startups, where there's been a lot of talk in the media. And so there's this whole focus now on culture, where it's not just an HR thing. It's not an HR priority. It's everyone's priority. It's a business priority. And so that helps with getting more folks, not just leaders and companies, but even employees, to really start thinking about the culture they want to build or the culture they want to work in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is a business priority, becoming more so in many places. Absolutely. And so for someone listening who is an employee in a company, most people are, what are some tips and strategies? What are some things they can take away and even, think about, go talk to somebody about? What would you share?
So I'll share two stories. That kind of has the same theme to it, but I think it's really impactful to your listeners. So for me, that first year I did Culture Summit, I had a lot of issues with feeling confident in being the person to do it because I felt like an imposter. I was just this engineer, right? I didn't know anything much about culture. I never worked in the space. I'd never managed anyone before. And so I had a really big challenge with this imposter syndrome. And I remember talking to one of the speakers and kind of sharing my thoughts with her. And she said, Hung, you're looking at it the wrong way. Don't feel like you have to be the expert. Instead, You know, look at yourself as the employee or as the voice of the employees, because that's really who you are. That's how you started this conference, just by being that voice or acting on that voice. So that's helped me a lot in terms of changing my perspective, where I didn't feel like I had to have a certain pedigree in order to kind of build the conference. So that's the first story. And the second story is, so last year after the conference ended, you know, what I like to do a lot is just go out there, chat with the community, see what's going on, you know, in their roles. And I talked to this one attendee where we're chatting about culture in their in her company. And she talked about how she had a female engineer in the company leave because the engineer felt like her work was being deprioritized, and then she felt like her voice wasn't being heard. And so she left. And I remember talking to the attendee and asking her, well, what could you have done differently to prevent her from leaving? Because it's for me, it's heartbreaking to hear an engineer leave because she didn't feel like she had the voice in such a male-dominated function. Mm-hmm. And the attendee told me, well, you know, I talked to her and I wanted to tell my CEO about this, but I'm just an admin. And I stopped it right there. And I told her, your title should have nothing to do with how you feel when it comes to building culture in your company, right? Title's just a title. If you feel like if you're inspired to, or if you feel motivated to come to your leaders and share this feedback and to help prevent an employee from leaving, you should go do that. Your title shouldn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't matter if you're an admin or not, or you're in some other role that has nothing to do with culture. If you feel that right, then you should be empowered to do it. And don't feel like you're being held back just by your title. And so the theme I'm trying to get across to your reader or to your listeners is that if they feel inspired to move forward with a culture initiative, with a people initiative, go and do it. Don't feel like you have to have the right pedigree or the permission or the experience, because culture touches everyone. And so if you're feeling like this is something that you want to solve or change, take it to your leaders. You know, go talk to your peers and start taking action. And don't feel like you have to have something there before you feel confident enough in yourself. You can do it today.
Wow. I mean, that's huge. You don't need permission. You don't need a pedigree, right? It doesn't matter what your title is. You have a right to have a voice about something this important.
Right. Yeah. And that's the one thing we just really try to emphasize on, that we want employees to build the culture they want to work in.
Yeah. And build the culture you want to work in, and that you actually, and everyone's voice counts and matters, no matter where you are, right? Now, even if you're part of a 50,000 person company or something, it sounds like that your voice, you know, as each individual employee's voice really, really matters.
Right. Yeah. And what I learned is that a lot of these leaders, it's not because they don't care. It's because they just have so much going on.
Yes.
And so what we can do to support our leaders is to come to them with what we want to solve, or what are some of the solutions we want to build, instead of waiting for permission or waiting for approval. Because a lot of leaders, they want to help, and they're more than happy to empower their employees. It's just because they just have so much going on that it gets lost in the mix. So again, we can help ourselves by helping our leaders with what we're trying to build in companies.
Thank you for that really lovely perspective about, we don't often hear that, right? Let's support our leaders by giving them this information, because they're simply so busy that they haven't had a chance to probably even get to the point of knowing that some of these issues exist in culture. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You've just shared a really wonderful message with us here at the end. Is there anything else as we're wrapping up you want to leave listeners with? Anything that comes to mind?
I would say, don't feel like you're alone in this. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started Culture Summit that first year, I thought at least from my perspective, if we have a lot of speakers there, that's what's going to create this amazing experience for attendees. But that's only one third of the equation. What I've learned just from hearing the feedback that I get every year is that attendees, they want to come to meet other attendees. They want to have more intentional networking. They want to have more engagement. So what we do every year is we try to build that into the conference, where we have less speakers, more time for attendees to network, and we're trying to build in activities to help them engage. And part of that is because a lot of people in this space, they're very dispersed, meaning they're in different parts of the country, in the world, and it's not often easy to meet other people who are doing the same type of work. And
absolutely,
many people feel like they're alone in the challenge. And so I would say, like, don't feel like you're alone. You can come to the conference and meet 500 other culture champions, or if you're not able to come to the conference, come to our community, sign up, because we're always putting together ways to connect our community together. And you're not alone in this. So we're here to support you. We're your family.
Wow. And I'm sure so many people are relieved to hear that they have a place to go where they can be part of a community on culture. So thank you so much today, Hung, for joining us and for this really, really wonderful and insightful conversation. I want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, I had a great time and look forward to hearing you next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. This was a lot of fun, Claudette, so thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks, Hung.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.